Our next speaker is a radical scientist, a veteran campaigner against racism, both in science and in society generally, Professor Stephen Rose.
Friends, two headlines link the issues that we're discussing today. The first, I suspect everyone here is familiar with. War in Iraq, a disaster, says Blair. Well, thanks. Some of us have been telling him that for a very long time. I suspect everyone here has as well. I've heard, and I thought yesterday when Margaret Hodge was referred to as describing Blair as a moral imperialist, this was the first good example of at last the rats leaving this particular sinking ship. But now we've got the captain jumping ship as well. That's good news. That's good news, though we'll come back to that in a moment. But the second headline, I doubt if many people here saw, because I suspect that not many people in this room read the Daily Express. But yet today's Daily Express carried the headline not about Blair and the disaster in Iraq, but family fury at halal Christmas dinner. That is a media stunt to suggest that Christian families were alarmed that their school children were going to be given not the traditional Christmas turkey, but a halal cooked meal for Christmas dinner. This seems to me to summarize precisely the links that we actually have to deal with here, and that is the relationship between what has been whipped up as the war on terror, exacerbated by Iraq, but above all because of the situation in Palestine and Israel, which I shall come to in a moment, with Islamophobia in this country. Now, one of the most disgraceful results of a court case that we've seen in recent years happened a couple of weeks ago when the leader of the British National Party, Nick Griffin, was acquitted by an all-white jury in Leeds of racial hatred speech, in a speech, as you will know, secretly filmed by the BBC. I won't repeat to you now the words that Nick Griffin used, but they were hateful, and they were hate speech. The claim was that this sort of speech doesn't come under the present legislation because, quotes, Muslims are not a race, whereas Jews and Sikhs, who can, of course, be protected by this legislation, are a race. Now, I have to say, this isn't just political nonsense, it's scientific nonsense as well. You can convert to Judaism just as much as you convert to Christianity, just as much as you convert to Sikhdom, just as much as some people in this hall will have converted to Islam. You can convert out again. That doesn't make you a race, it makes you a religion. But we don't need this additional government legislation to deal with Nick Griffin. There's enough legislation, if we want to use it, and if the juries are prepared to convict, on the books already to deal with hate speech in this particular sort of way. But there's one further twist to the Nick Griffin story which I'd like to mention to you, and that is this. I don't know if any of you listen to what is sometimes regarded as the BBC's flagship programme of moral discussion, The Moral Maze. It happens every Wednesday evening, live, and it's repeated this evening. This week's Moral Maze featured none other than Nick Griffin explaining that he was not a racist. I beg your pardon, he's a racialist. There's a subtle distinction operating here. Griffin is a Holocaust denier. He's a racist, I would say, as well as a racialist. Now, I was supposed to take part in that program, and I refused on the grounds that I'm strongly with you. I'm strongly of the view that there should be no platform for BNP people, no platform for racists. However, there's something I think everyone in this hall can do, if you're prepared to do it, and that is write to complain to the BBC. The person to write to is Christine Morgan. She's the editor in the programme which puts out the BBC, which puts out The Moral Maze. It's called Religion and Ethics. And you might like to write to Christine Morgan at the BBC and ask her why she thought a religion and ethics programme should feature declared Holocaust denier and racist. That would be one minor way of actually trying to drive this bit of the media back into a degree of respectability. So, we have Islamophobia here. We have the possibility of countering it by law, but we do not counter it. And we do not counter it. It is not countered by British society for all the reasons that we know very well and that Yvonne has already spoken about here. I want to come back, however, to the core issue that we're facing, and that is the war on terror and its relation to Islamophobia here. One thing that Tony Blair said and has gone on saying, which is right, and that is the key to understanding and to resolving the problems of the Middle East and to some extent the war on terror, and certainly of reducing sort of this hysteria, mass hysteria of Islamophobia that we're seeing at the moment, the key lies not in Baghdad, but it lies in Jerusalem. There cannot be any satisfactory solution to the Middle East situation, any satisfactory way of providing peace with justice for all the peoples of the Middle East, whilst the Palestinians remain an oppressed people, whilst the Israeli state wages its own personalised war on terror on the civilians, the women, the children, the civilians of Gaza and of the West Bank, while they are armed and supported by the United States, and while our government refuses to actually accept that this is the nature of that particular conflict. We saw the disgraceful way in which Blair refused to condemn Israel over its invasion of the Lebanon and over its bombing there. We've seen its reluctance to accept that the Israelis are using illegal weapons, phosphorus weapons, depleted uranium weapons, this interesting sort of dense inert material weapon which is now produces extraordinary wounds, which the medical staff in Gaza have been documenting time and again over the last weeks. Blair thinks that the war on terror can be resolved through Jerusalem. But he does not accept that that war on terror and that resolution demands an acceptance of the rights of the Palestinian people, not to be divided into a series of Bantustans, not to accept the peace of oppressors introduced by the Israeli state, and not to accept the rights and the responsibilities that Israel has to those millions of Palestinians in the Palestinian diaspora. Until the British government, the European governments, and the United States recognize that, there can actually be no peace in Palestine, Israel, and there can be no solution to those particular problems indeed. That's the directions that we want to go in. And here is another thing, I think, therefore, that we can all do in this country to help move that campaign forward. And that is join the growing campaigns for boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel and in support of the Palestinian people. This session is about combating Islamophobia and the war on terror. One very minor practical suggestion I've made, one more important long-term practical suggestion I've made, writing to the BBC, but above all, joining the campaign in relationship to boycott, divestment and sanctions. But there is another issue as well. We have to confront and recognize the nature of racism at home in this country as well. It is not going to go away. It has been there for every wave of migrants who've come into this country over the course of the last century and a half, from the Irish to the Jews to the Caribbeans and to the Muslims who have come in over the last decades. The reasons why those migrants have come were summed up very well when the Caribbeans responded by saying, "We are here because you were there." Unless we actually begin to understand unless we begin to understand the nature of the way in which European colonialism, European imperialism, and by Europe I mean America as well here, of course, as well, and indeed the continual exploitation of what the Americans insist on regarding as our oil in Iraq, our oil in Saudi, our oil everywhere else, unless we begin to recognize the way in which that nature of exploitation is part of the ways in which we now have a large Islamic community in this country, unless we understand and welcome the multicultural diversity that that represents, unless we combat the colonial imperialist mentality which says they are they and we are we, that we have particular rights because we were here first, unless we understand, see, and see Islamophobia and the war on terror as part of a global process of fighting and combating racism and imperialism across the world, we will not succeed. And if we do not succeed, the results will be, I fear, disastrous. We must succeed, and it's up to every single one of us to do what we can to achieve that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Thank you.